Monadic. My name is Anthony. Sherry, fuck around, almost made me cry already. I was trying to have a good time. I'm over here about ready to cry and shit. If nothing else happens in this meeting, that happened already when she said that, man. And we have the understanding of her being the most important person in this meeting, man. He asked me up here with the 2-minute conversation we had as if I'm nervous, and I said, hell no. I don't know why I'm starting off lying, but no, it's not a good look, right? You know what I mean? I don't know why. Starting off lying, literally, here's what happened. An hour ago, they called me and asked me to do this. An hour ago. Right? Last night, we were at the bonfire meeting, and a friend of ours was sharing there, and we had to go inside because it was too cold. It was about to rain. And I came in the meeting and was sitting down, and the guy that I was with, it, you know, he's from this area. He's like, we need you to go up there and do the secretary report or whatever that is. And I said, nah, man, I ain't doing none of that shit. I'm just here to chill. And he's like, well, I bet if they asked you to share, your ass would say, yeah, wouldn't you? So when they called, I thought it was a setup. I was like, you motherfuckers just set me up, man. I didn't want to say yes at first. I just kept listening to shit. She was like, come, are you going to do this or not? I said yes, you know, selfish in nature. They're going to beat me up later about this shit when we get back to the thing. But that's fine and dandy. But not to cheat myself from this opportunity, that's man. Right. And to look out and see all these people and just to be a part of it. That at the end of the day, I'm a real quiet person and I'm real reserved. And I don't really go up to a lot of people or speak to a lot of people. But when I do this, I get that opportunity, man. Like, every time I do this, man, I get a lot of hugs when I leave the room. And I get to meet a lot of people that I would never have met because I'm just not that person. You know, my personality comes up here because I give it all to God when I come up here. Nothing I say right now is going to be anything I say to myself. Nothing comes out of my mouth, especially when you only got an hour. Fuck, I ain't had no time to rehearse shit. I ain't get to drop a lot of them in the shower. I didn't get none of that shit, man. But at the end of the day, man, I'm truly, truly grateful to be in Ocean City, man. Hailing from Pittsburgh and all my guys that I came out with, man. And everybody I hang out with have 20 years clean, man. Everybody I surround myself. And I was told, like, you get with the people that got what you want. So I can put myself around the people. I want 20-something years, man. I want to be able to travel around and have fun and be with the people that are doing the things that I want to do in life. They all got businesses. They're all great men. They all got wives. They had everything that I obtained to be. But, I just don't know how to get there without them. So I surround myself with them, man. Growing up, I hated myself, man. I hear these people, like, they be like, Andy talking shit. Like, nobody, you can't talk shit about me more than I talk shit about myself, man. Before I wake up and roll over, before I hit my vape, I'm already a piece of shit. You ain't nothing. I've done a lot of shit in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. But that thing still keeps working. Like, more will always be revealed in my mind. You know, it doesn't matter how long or how much and how much, like, step work or anything. Like, at the end of the day, when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I'm still a piece of shit in my mind. But because it was ingrained in me as a young kid, man. My mother was 4'11". She was 90 pounds. But she was the most ruthless individual I ever met in my life, man. Nobody scared me like my mom. Like the brutality and the beatings, and she was a full-blown alcoholic, man. She hated us, man. She hated her children. She hated the fact we were there. She would let us know often, man. I had a little sister she hated way more than me, though. She hated women. My mother hated women, man. But she hated my sister. And I was a person that was always a people pleaser, but I would always protect my sister. You know, I would do shit to make my mom bring the attention to me and take it off of her. I didn't want to see her being beat no more. You know, my mother was very ruthless. She was crazy. But I'll say anything I want about my mom, you won't say nothing about her. That's my motherfucking mom, man. Fuck out of here. Fuck out of here. That's my mom, man. I don't care what you say. Like, children's services, when they would call a week ahead of time. I had to make a happy home before they got there. You know, I had to coach my sister on how to lie. I learned how to manipulate early. Them bruises didn't come from our mom. It was when we were out playing football. Remember when we were doing them things. Like, I had to coach everything because my mom was too drunk to set it up, man. She didn't know how to do it. So I did it. And I kept it for as long as I could, man, for as long as I could, until the one day when I came home, man, and I see all the sirens, and I see all the fucking blinking lights, and I see that they're at my house, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm looking in the house, and I see blood everywhere, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she got her. And there was no more hiding it. You know, they're pulling my sister out on the stretcher, and there's blood everywhere, and like, she had beat her to a point that there was no more hiding it, man. And they took my sister and they put her in foster care and they put me with my grandmother. And I was off and on my whole life. My grandmother's the greatest person I ever met in my life, man. And I've met a lot of thorough people in Narcotics Anonymous. Trust me, I've met a lot of spiritual people. My grandmother never had a program, but she had the biggest heart I ever seen in my life. She raised her children. She raised my mother's children. She raised my children. She ain't asked nobody for shit.
Right.
You know, the only thing my grandmother ever did for herself every year, she'd buy herself a pair of Reebok Classics and she was cool, man. Right? She was cool. One winter she bought herself a Rockaway sweatsuit and Thor, she was this shit, but that was about it, man. She didn't really do much more, man. But I loved her. Every morning we gave each other the finger. That's how we said, I love you, man. And it was just how we were. And like, my mother would come in and out of my life. She would drop me off at my grandmother's house on Saturday, pick me up 3 years later on a Sunday, and act like nothing happened. Like, that was the life I lived. In and out. Abuse. My father shot dope for 40 years, man. So it's what I knew. It's what I thought was going to happen to me. I thought it was my only option. You know, I got stuck on a 2-block radius. 12 years straight, man. I couldn't get the fuck off it. I didn't understand why. Like, I knew if I could just stop using, I knew there was something inside of me that wanted to do some things. I always had the best intentions waking up, man. Every morning I woke up with the best intention to do something with my life. I just couldn't fucking do it. I didn't know how to do it. I had no guidance. I had a grandfather that lived with my grandmother. I lived with him off and on for 15 years. The man never said 2 words to me. He loved my friends. He loved all my, like, my sister. He loved everybody around me. Nobody ever knew the family mystery of why this motherfucker didn't like me. I had no idea why. So I always felt less than. I always hated myself. I had this big gap teeth. I had 2 sweatsuits that I wear back and forth. I put match one with the other. Like, I really hated who I was, man. I got picked on a lot. I couldn't fight. I was fucking nothing, you know, and I hated who I was. So when somebody says they can hate me, man, I don't care. You can hate me, but you'll never hate me like I did. But because of the program of Narcotics Anonymous, because of the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, I love me some me today. You know? I love me some me. You know? And I would do that back and forth, and I had a habit before. I was about 16. I was shooting dope by 17, by 19, like, I was strung out. From 19 to 29, I didn't get high one time, but I continued to be used every single day. It stopped working a long time ago. A long time ago it stopped working, but I still had to put something in me every day, man. You know, I was no longer chasing. People was like, oh, if you use, you want to get high. Man, I just didn't want to be sick no more, man. And I wanted to get away from myself as much as I could. And I continuously did that. And I remember that when a police officer intervened, man, I was in a high-speed chase, and I'm trying to smoke the last bit of this crack we had, and I'm looking at him. I was like, I'm fucking trying to poke holes in a can, and, like, this is what my life has came to at this point. And I remember we came to a screeching halt when we crashed, and he looked at me. He's like, and we're in this full-out spin in this truck, man, and we're in the side of the mountain, and, like, I knew friends of mine that had died in this mountain, right? And I was like, oh, man, and I got this great relief over me that it was finally over. Like, I couldn't wait for this car to crash, and I could not wait to be dead, and I just couldn't wait for all that shit to be over with. And I remember, like, getting out of the car with not a scratch on me, mad at the world, mad at God. Fuck you, man. I didn't want to be here no more. Why are you going to have me here? And I remember sitting in the back of that police car, and I told the police officer, man, listen, like I want to stop, but I don't know how, man. Like, I want to hang myself from this bridge, because there's, like, this little bridge in my little town, this little small little town. And I was like, I just want to gently hang myself from there for somebody to grab me and help me. Like, I didn't know how to ask for help, so this is what I created in my mind to do. You know, I figured out, like, if you put the knot on the back of your neck, you're strangled, but if you put it on the side of your neck, it'll snap your neck. So I wanted to just strangle, so somebody just somebody grabbed me and shit. And he said, listen, he said, I'm gonna give you the help that you're looking for. He's like, you have until tomorrow to put yourself in detox. At this point in my life, I'm 29 years old. I don't know what a detox is. I don't know what a rehab is. I never seen nobody get clean. I never knew what any of this shit was, man. At 29 years old, right? And he said, if you don't do that, I'm going to 302 you. I didn't know what these numbers meant. I didn't know what a 302 was, man. And so he called me the next day and he said, listen, if you don't put yourself into rehab today, I'm going to 302 you. And again, I thought he would just stop, man. And he didn't stop. He kept calling, man. He said, listen, well, since you're not going to do this, we're going to go ahead and 302 you. What I found out at 302 is a bunch of cops will show up at your house and take you to where you were supposed to go in the first fucking place. You know, and not as gently as I would have took myself. I ended up getting up into rehab and I learned how to talk shit and be a part of the whole shit. I became the mayor up there. I got a wife. You know, I was sponsoring people. I was teaching her how to sponsor people. You know, if you want what we have to offer, I didn't know what the fuck I was offering you, but if you wanted it, like, I had it. You know, I had no understanding of what the fuck I was talking about, but, like, I was guiding these people in their life, and I was going to help them get to where they needed to be, obviously, because I was too high to do it for myself. So let me help you get there. And I remember at the end of that, man, there were 30 people. They did my goodbye, man. And at the end of that, when you're leaving, everybody turns around, and, like, every single one of them cried, man. Every single one of them, like, just thanked me for everything I did for them while I was there. And it was, like, one of these emotional things. What I didn't know then, what I did find out later is, man, I hurt the most important person. I hurt myself, man. I never helped myself. I was more worried about everybody else, and I left myself sitting there, man. And I had to go outside knowing everything else I did was meant nothing because I learned nothing. I didn't give myself a chance. Right, so I remember getting out of there, and I knew the one thing, man, in life, and I say this now, that, like God knew the one thing that I would chase to Pittsburgh was a pretty face and a fat ass, man, because, like, there was no way I would ever move to Pittsburgh if I wasn't chasing that girl. And so he put her in front. I was like, yeah, I'll go, you know. Sure, why not? So I followed her to Pittsburgh, and I ended up getting one of these things called Recovery House out there. And I learned that, like, you know, they had this little house manager, right? And if you gave them a $20 scratch-off ticket, a positive drug test turned into a negative one. So I started learning that hustle a little bit, and I started learning the hard dealers. And at the end of the day, man, if you're with me and you're a girl and you're not willing to do the things I need you to do for me to get high, you got to go. Like, you're just in the fucking way now. Like, I don't want to have sex. I don't want to do none of that shit. I need you to go fuck somebody, bring me back something, because I'm too scared to do it. Like, that's just how it is, man. And she just wasn't built like that at the time, right? So she was gone one day, right? And she was gone, and I kept using in this one little area, and they took that recovery house, and they ended up moving it, and I stayed in this little area, and I found myself in a 2-block radius again. And that's what happens to me when I use. I get real comfortable in a 2-block radius, and I find these little places, and I was homeless at the time, and these people, they would feed me, and they would buy me stuff, and they would, like, give me thermals and socks, and it was Christmas Eve 2009. And I remember them all taking me to their parents' houses, and they're giving me all these things that, like, help me stay warm for the winter. And they didn't know that I was going to kill myself the next day. That it was finally over, man. Like, I couldn't lie to grandma no more, man. I couldn't look myself in the mirror anymore. You know, I couldn't do any of them things anymore. So I was creating this way to kill myself that I knew that I've died so many other times. I knew how I've overdosed on many different occasions, but I was too pussy to do it myself, so I set some girl up to do it for me. Right, she was a stripper, and she was doing her last set, and I was like, can you come over? I was like, I'm too drunk to hit myself, and she hit me, and I woke up how we always wake up, man. How I've always woke up before, with the police all around, and the ambulances, and I'm so mad that you're there, and I just was like, I just wanted it to be done, man. And they was like, you have one or two options. You can go to Allegheny County Jail or Allegheny County Hospital. I always take the hospital, man. I'm 5'0". I know I go to jail. You're taking all my soups and shit. Like, it's just not. I went to jail one time in my life for 6 days, man. My girlfriend beat me up. I called the cops on her. They took me to fuck to jail for 6 days. Horrible experience. But I wasn't built for that, so I went to the jail. And I called one of them people, man. I called one of them people, and I'm talking about the therapeutic value of one addict helping another is without parallels, because of what this guy did on this night is who made me the man I am today, man. When I think at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning when nobody else would come get me, man, he woke up and he walked down a mountain and he walked all the way across the bridge in the freezing cold, and he came and got me when nobody else would. So when my phone rings, and I don't care if I like you or not, I pick it up. You understand? Like when you call me, you ask me you need something, I'm coming, because he came for me when nobody else would. He told me if I went to a detox facility for the time period, when I came back, they would pay for my first month's rent in a recovery house. And I looked at the bridge, man. There's, like, this little bridge at this recovery center we have. And I'm looking at the bridge, and I'm thinking in my mind, man, if I jump off the bridge and I live, how cold the fucking water's going to be. Like it's never no good for me, because I can't kill myself. Every time I've tried to kill myself, it hasn't worked. So I'm just going to be floating in this cold water. And I decided to just, like, go ahead and, like, go to rehab. And I did that, and I came out, did 90 meetings. They said, do 90 meetings in 90 days. I finally heard that. I finally heard that, man. I did 280 meetings in 90 days. I didn't do it for any right reason. I was out there chasing y'all little girls around, doing my little thing. Like, that's what I always done. But, like, something started clicking, man. They said, keep coming back. It doesn't matter what's bringing you to the meeting. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. Something's going to stick. And it finally did. Because at, like, 8 months clean, I had to go back and show my grandmother how good I was doing. She needed to see her grandson. She needed to see me, man. I was proud of me. She needed to be proud of her grandson. I got on this Greyhound bus, and 5 minutes into the ride, somebody had this big bag of Oxy-80. He's like, do you want one? I said, nah, man, I don't use no more. I got 8 months clean. He asked me twice. I couldn't say no the second time. The reality was, I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't have a home group. I didn't have any of the things recovery suggested me to have. All I had was me, and me by myself, I used. So I used, man. By the time I got home, I was so high. When I looked at my grandmother, she said, get back on that bus and don't come back. I was broken, man. I was broken. That was August 1st, 2010. I haven't used since. having you since, man. I didn't ever want to see the desperation in her eyes again, like ever again. She didn't deserve that. I went back. I got a home group. I got a sponsor. I became active. I was at the door greeting and hugging and holding people. Even if I didn't like you, I needed to hug you anyway. I needed to hug you the most because, like, that resentment at the end of the day doesn't hurt me, hurt you. It hurts me. You could give a fuck if I don't like you or not, man, but I got to stick with that shit, man. And I started doing what was suggested to me. I started getting to the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. I found out in the first step, I finally identified the problem. It was always me. It was always me, man. I thought it was the drugs, but, like, in the was, man, like, I always thought the insane things I did in life was because I did the drugs, and once I took the drugs away, started doing the same insane shit, I just realized, man, I was just an insane individual that happened to take some fucking drug. There was some shit that was wrong with me. I remember they asked me, like, to restore myself to sanity. He's like, read the definition of restore, and it was like to completely rebuild. And what I thought I had to do was completely rebuild my outside, but without my inside, my outside would never rebuild itself, man. I had a spirit that was completely broken that just needed completely rebuilt, man. And that was only through understanding and application that this shit would work. So I started pushing myself and doing all them things that I would always go against the grain to do because I always had this big heart, man. I always knew it was down there. I just didn't know how to bring it out. My grandmother had it. She instilled it in me. She instilled morals. She instilled values. She instilled all that shit in me. But I chose to go another way, man. But the program gave me the opportunity. And that's what the program of Narcotics Anonymous has truly gave me. The one thing in life that I love is an opportunity to be who I always wanted to be, man. In spite of myself. So sometimes that'll break that away from me because I'll take my own will, my own life. My first understanding, like, I was thoroughly into my third step. And like, I slept with this girl for the third time when I didn't want to sleep with her the first time. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, you know, God must want her to be here. And I heard right clean as day, no, you did that shit. Don't put it on me. And like, so now I knew. So now I knew God was present in my life, man. I finally knew he ain't co-signing this shit no more. And I got in my four-step, and one of the greatest things that happened to me in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, when I thoroughly was done with my four-step, the victim role was taken out of my life, man. That's the only way I ever knew how to live, man. And the only way I know how to live is as a victim, so I knew how to, I had to line myself up with God's will, because at the end of the day, my will is victim. And the disease of addiction will attack the fuck out of a victim. A victim will you. I will use if I continuously be a victim, man. I was no longer a victim, and that shit sucked, man. I didn't know how to fucking, like, I didn't know how to live. But I started living on principle. I started being that person, and I'm going around, I'm helping everybody, I'm doing everything that was suggested to me, and that recovery house that I got clean, and I'm like, fuck, I now own. Right? Right? I give men the same opportunity that was given to me on a daily basis. I'm part of a lot of people's first days in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I got that little girlfriend they were talking about. Don't get hurt, right? You know, because I did use that 8 months, but I never told nobody I used that 8 months. I was over there. None of y'all knew when I got back that I had used. You know, for 2.5 years, I'm running around speaking at this fucking thing, lying. The first thing I'm telling you is my clean date. It was a complete lie, you know? And at the end of the day, man, I started telling people that shit because I needed to understand it. Like, if disease was saying, look, man, you did it before, you can do it again. You're the one giving the drug test now. You know, nobody's going to drug test you. But, like, I fucking had to tell, man. And I got that girlfriend. She had 30 days clean. I had a lying-ass year because I told you I was lying. So she thought I had a year. Everybody else thought I had a year. And I loved her, man. And it was the first person in my life that I gave myself to, man. The first person in my life at 30 days clean, I was with her every single day for her. And she picked up 2 years, man. I remember the night she picked up 2 years. I bought her 24 white balloons with 2 black balloons to represent the 24 hours it took her to get them 2 years. And that night when we went to bed, I got a phone call. They said, Anthony, we just found your father dead in the kitchen of a drug overdose. So in the same night, man, I got to see the blessings of Narcotics Anonymous and what would happen if I choose to go back. You understand? I didn't know in that moment, man. I started to drive down there because they asked me to show up for my father. My father really, like, I get down there and there's 13 people. They say the man is known for the legacy he has left behind. My father left on 13 people, man. Everybody in that funeral was high except for me. That was not going to be my legacy. It's just not going to be mine. But when I got there, I got a phone call, and it's her, man. And it's my girl. It's the person I love more than in the world. And I thought she was calling to make sure I was all right. But what happened was, like, her phone accidentally went off when she was with somebody else. So I'm burying my father, my best friend's cheating, my girlfriend, and everything. I told her to be out of my house by the time I got back, man. I'm calling the sponsor because they told me to call your sponsor, man. Call somebody. Keep calling. Keep calling. I kept calling the sponsor, and he still hasn't answered that phone call, man. So I was done with Narcotics Anonymous. I became that victim I once was again. Fuck everybody, I'm out. I'm going to go ahead and, like, distance myself from my lifeline. I didn't want nothing to do with that. I ended up getting a new home group. It was the casino. I had a sponsor down there. I had 5 minutes. I got a sponsor down there. Yeah. I had a foundation. I had a weed. If you want to know where all the people with 20 plus years are that aren't in the meetings anymore, go to the casino. They're down there. But long story, like she said, I have about 5 minutes left, man. At the end of the day, like I said, man, not only did I, like, you know, just through the program of Narcotics Anonymous, end up owning that one recovery house that I got cleaned, and I have three of them today, man. Today I sit down with people all across, like, drug and alcohol, the police departments of our city, because we are in an epidemic. We are in a state of emergency, man. We are in a state of emergency. Our overdose rate is up 244% in our area. It's crazy. And they didn't go to, like, all these other people. They came to me, Anthony, what can we do? You know, we can start, like, coming up with solutions and things that we can do to help this thing go. Like this is a person that was on a two-block radius, couldn't get out of nowhere. People are calling me to help them do some things, man. It's crazy and amazing to me. There's two things in the program of Narcotics Anonymous that nobody can ever take from you. That's your clean date, man. Nobody can ever take that. But another one thing that nobody can ever take from you is you being a part of somebody else's. And ever since I've always been a part of somebody else's, I've always kept mine. Thank you.